was real nice to be here in Minneapolis. Well, I've kind of been all over now lately, just the past couple of months, but I always enjoy coming to Minneapolis because I enjoy the surf so much here, but I've been like in a lot of nightclubs. And, I'm kind of, somebody asked me earlier how I got my start, and I, frankly, I'll with all due candor, I really don't do this for a living. I'm really a labor organizer at a maternity ward. Prior to that, I was just a young little scudder. I grew up in a small community called Whittier, California. And we lived at a cold water walk-up condominium. And things were tough all over and they weren't getting any better, bub. And, I remember one Christmas Eve, I was about 3 1/2 years old, and I remember walking home from the factory as the snow came down. And I walked by a little place called Pella's Pawn Shop. And I saw this, Bluffin' Heifer piano hanging up in the window. Boy, I knew I had to get my hands on that sucker. And it hung up in the window next to an old bent saxophone, some old dentures. And I ran all the way home. And I ran up the stairs and I tugged on my mother's house coat. I was like, Christ, Mom. I always called her that. It came from like a liberal family. And, said, well, shit, what is it, Waits? She always called me Waits. I told her I saw this damn piano hanging up in the window down there at the Palace Pawn Shop. And Chris, I just had me get my hands on it. And my mother, bless her soul, she, I remember it was Christmas Eve. And cold outside. I was colder than a gut shot bitch wolf dog with 9 second pulse pulling a number 4 trap up a hill in the dead of winter in the middle of a snowstorm with a mouthful of porcupine quills. And my mother went down to Paula's Pawn Shop. She called a cab and she stood out in front of Paula's Pawn Shop as the snow came down over Whittier with tears in her eyes. And she put a damn brick through the window and got it for me. And, I guess I'll never forget her for it. A lot of us take our parents for granted. My mother will never forget me for it. She's up for parole now in a couple of weeks, and we're going to get together over the holidays. But it reminds me of the first song I ever wrote. About a late night diner where I used to hang out. It was one of them greasy little joints. So. I'm not talking about your health food place where you get yourself a bean sprout and avocado sandwich on pumpernickel and an identity crisis plate with smothered in patchouli oil with bell-bottom salad. I'm talking about a dangerous diner. Everything's a shaking, baking, floating in 30 weight. And at the bottom of the menu it says harmful if swallowed and if rash develops, discontinue use and consult physician immediately. It's one of those nights when I was hungry for like some fried scrabs or some monkey vomit, and I was hungry enough to eat the crotch out of a dead ape, and I stumbled down to this little place. And I knew I'd come to the right place when I noticed that the waitress is wearing those rhinestone cat glasses, the little pearl thing it clips on the sweater. And they had all different kind of burgers. Weird burgers, beard burgers, strange burgers, arranged burgers, radar range burgers. Rubenburgers, Bloomburgers, Gloomburgers. I told her I wanted something that was, I wanted something I could throw down my mouth and walk out of there with enough gas in me to open up a mobile station somewhere. So she ordered me up the chicken catastrophe and the eggs overwhelming. So this is a little piece of culinary metropolitan double talk. This is a true story. One of those places where the coffee is never strong enough to defend itself. It was late at night as I elbowed up at the counter with every other loser in town.